Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you here with us tonight. And let's find the YouTubers. Get them live with us tonight, too. This meeting is being live streamed. Got it? Welcome, YouTube. It's good to have you with us tonight. It is, whether or not you can believe it, May the 1st.
May 1st.
Oh, where in the world did this year go already? That is absolutely amazing. Already got 4 months in the books. Remember, history is his story in our life. And so you've got 4 more months in the history book. If you don't think they were good and what they needed to be, then make a change. You know, do some things that so you get what you're looking for. That's the cool thing about where we are in the history of the earth. We have such amazing wisdom, knowledge, and understanding about so many things that it like Brother Jesse says, it takes a really good theologian to mess this up. But there are some very highly paid theologians that are messing it up. Yeah. And so I encourage you, every part of your Christian life is supposed to be producing something for God. You should be seeing people come closer to God, come to know God, the lost being saved, the found being instructed and challenged and changed. And I just encourage you, seriously. We've just come, when you think about it, we've just come through a very serious time in the history of the world. Now, the Antichrist made his attempt at running the world and having his one world government and all that. And in my opinion, he failed. All right. But of course, that just might have been his first attempt just to see how much of the world he's still got to mess up. And then, you know, since we had our election here, we saw exactly how much of the world he's trying to mess up. What I think is amazing is, as we've seen this situation happen with Tucker Carlson, man, everybody's saying there are 45 million Americans who followed his program on a regular daily basis. Now, you might say, well, what's that got to do with 8 billion people around the world? Remember this, God's not going to lose to the devil. God is going to do everything in his power to make every one of us win in one way or another. And so there's a couple of verses that we've got to live by every day. And that's kind of what tonight is. Now, I got to get right to the word, teach it quick, and then be done by 9 p.m. I've got to be done by 9 p.m. tonight. So we're going to go right to it. And We got up this morning. I slept extra. I hadn't slept for a couple of days, so I slept extra this morning and studied the Word. And when we started tonight, Brother Roger came on, was talking to us on Zoom a little bit, and Brother Roger gave me the title to tonight's message. And I like it when that happens, because if you have your ear, this one, of your spirit, tuned into the things of God, you can hear the word of God in anyone's voice, sinner or saint. About 3 weeks ago, Sister Sunday spoke a word by the Spirit to us that said, something so abundant is coming to you, you don't even know how big it is. And like 12 hours later, a sinner man said the exact same words to me about my life. And then, you know, bam, here it is. We're right in the middle of it. And so, you know, in the day that we live, no matter what has happened, God has not surrendered his control of his throne, He's not surrendered his. He ain't surrendered nothing. He doesn't know the word surrender, except when it's you and I surrendering our will to him.
Amen.
And so tonight's title is this. I like this. I have been pitching. I just don't know if you are catching. I love that. That's a very, very wonderful title.
It really is.
I have been pitching. I don't know if you're catching. And so here we go. John chapter 8, if you will, go there with me, and we'll jump right into the Word of God. Now, of course, you know, that's the statement that Jesus made. Let's see if I can quit moving the screen around here. Don't worry about it. It didn't fall off the computer or the table. Here we go. John chapter 8. So you know, this is John chapter 8. And the greatest effect. I have been pitching. I just don't know if you are. And so we're going to hold our Bible up, make our confession, and then we're going to get right into the Word of God tonight. Ready? Here we go. Those of you that's on Zoom with us, if you want to, you can turn your mic on and say this with us. You ready? Say it with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's word says.
I believe what God's word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he's the living word.
Because he is the living word.
And the great I am.
And the great I am.
The Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit of God.
My resident teacher.
My resident teacher.
Is bringing this word alive.
Is bringing this word alive.
In my life tonight.
In my life.
I receive it as a seed.
I receive it as a seed.
And plant it in the good soil of my heart.
And plant it in the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. Now I'm going to start right out by reading. So this is what I encourage you to do. Please make sure all your cell phones are turned off effectively. And let's get all the apps where they belong, and here we go. Everybody now, praise the Lord. Everybody now,
praise the Lord.
Here we go. John chapter 8, I'm just going to read it. We're going to let Jesus do the talking because he is the living word. John 8, 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. That's got to be a cool place to be, because that was the mountain where there was a bunch of olive trees. It's, you know, don't get too deep on it. You know, Mount of Olives, oh, it's holy and it's righteous. Well, it was a mountain that had olive trees, and Jesus liked to go there. I was thinking this morning as I was studying it, as I was waking up and getting going today, what would Jesus, he went to the Mount of Olives all the time. What did he like about it? Well, you think about a bunch of olive trees, it's going to have a bunch of birds, and they're going to be chitter-chattering, birds he created, olive trees he created, you know, and it's a garden, and it's on a mountain, and he can see the city, and it's outside the temple, and all of those things in Jesus' soulish realm that were satisfying, and reminded him of God, probably, of who he was, who he is, you know, who knows all that, but he liked to go there, and he would go there and pray. Verse 2. Now, early in the morning, he came again to the temple. So I asked Cicely, and I wonder if he was sleeping out there. Or if he did what Americans don't know much about, some Americans don't know much about, and that's just prayed all night and talked with the Father and said, we'll worry about sleep another day. He came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down, and he taught them. That's why I like sitting down. I'm being like Jesus. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. Oh, you stupid religious people. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery. In the very act. Well, remember, at this point, Jesus has already taught them that if you commit adultery, if you just lust after a woman in your heart. Whoops, they're all guilty. We're going to see it. Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? They all had a stone in their hand. They stone people regularly. This they said, testing him, that they might have something in which to accuse him. Jesus stooped down, wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued to ask him, and he raised up and said to them, he among you who is without this sin, let him throw a stone at her first. Now, remember, they took her in the act of adultery, which was her having sex with somebody that she wasn't married to. All right. My personal belief, it doesn't say it, is that that was with a scribe or Pharisee, one of the religious rulers. And they told her, don't worry, we're not going to stone you. We're just trapping Jesus. So she's in on it as much as they were. They got stones. She's like, well, I ain't going to have you stone me. Wait, if you don't realize this crooked, it is really this crooked. 8. Again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And those who heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. See, that means you got a conscience whether you're born again or not. And you're going to have to give an account of that conscience one day standing before Almighty God. It's better to give the account now than it is to have to give it an account later and have no ability to change it. No matter who you are, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And some will do it and be entered into heaven, and others will do it and they'll go into everlasting destruction, condemnation. Then those, I'm in verse 9, John 8, 9. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the youngest. And Jesus left the woman and the woman standing in the midst. Now don't miss how wicked the scribes and Pharisees were. She's naked. Now, it doesn't say that here, but that's how wicked they were. When Jesus raised himself up and saw no one there, he said to her, woman, where are the accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, this is the coddle version. And he looked at Peter and said, Peter, make sure she has a robe. So that's how wicked these men were. You notice that out of the law, if a woman and a man commit adultery together, they both were stoned, but the man wasn't brought. Well, why wasn't the man brought? The man wasn't brought because the man was one of them. And she's a part of the plan. And then Jesus spoke this, verse 12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. How cool is that? You get to have the light of life. Turn with me real quick. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. Let's take a look at this. Proverbs 4, 18. Look at what God says over here. Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Solomon, to King Solomon, not the Apostle. Proverbs 4, 18. Check it out. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines brighter and brighter to the perfect day, or one translation says till noonday. Sunday morning I was driving, and about 4:30, I'm like, look at the northern lights. I'm like, boy, that's not northern lights. And on the eastern sky, all the way across. I mean, out here, you can see the sunrise for 7,500 miles. All of a sudden, there's this orange hue tint to the sky. I'm like, man, that's the sunrise. Look at it come. And then it just starts getting brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter until the noonday. And that sun is straight above you. That's the brightest it's going to be. Look at what this says. The path of the just doesn't get more confusing, more disturbing, right? The path of the just gets brighter and brighter to the perfect day. What did Jesus say? Yeah, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Have it. Where? In here. That's why when we make our confession, we make that statement. The Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher. Remember this. Now, I know we got new people tonight. This catchy title is going to get some people to stop by. Remember this. There's only one Holy Spirit. There's only one. The same Holy Spirit that filled Jesus is the same Holy Spirit that fills you and me. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 8:11, that same Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you. If you've said, fill me with the Holy Spirit, then Jesus is more willing, wait, the Father is more willing to give you the Holy Spirit than you even are to ask. Let's grab that verse. So I added Romans 8. Somebody making a verse. Romans 8:11. And then let's go over here to Luke 11. Luke 11:9-13. Now watch this. Remember what we're talking about here. I've been pitching. I just don't know if they're catching. We're going to see Jesus deal with that in a minute. Got to keep looking at this clock because I can tell right now I'm on the mode for preaching about 2.5 hours. I can tell. Luke 11:9-13. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Wow, here comes the heat. Knock, and the door will be open. Knock, knock, knock. For everyone who asks receives, and to him who seeks, he's going to find. To him who knocks, the door will be open. Oh, that window ain't going to change that easy. So if you're asking, seeking, and knocking, you're receiving, finding, and opening. That's what's going to happen. Now look what it says. If a son asks for bread from any father, I'm the son, he's the father. If you ask for bread from our father, is he going to give you a stone?
Nope.
But have you ever said, man, it don't matter what I do, I'm just not getting ahead. That's those words. That's what Sister Lamb was talking about the other night on the program. Well, all y'all was talking about it on the program. That was a good program the other day. If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? I saw Dr. Winston on Sunday. I was studying his Sunday morning message with him. He said, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a very discerning eater. I ain't eating none of that serpent. Now, he said, now y'all can eat it, but I ain't eating none of that serpent. And he said, I ain't eating any of that head cheese either. And he named a couple other things. If he asked for a snake, if he asked for an egg, well, he gave him a scorpion. But look at what the whole point of what the Holy Spirit was having Jesus say. If you then, and I then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, every one of us want to give good gifts to our children. How much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The bottom line is, if you want the Holy Spirit living in your life, all you got to do is ask, right? If you're born again, just say this with me. Wait, no matter who you are, say this with me real quick. Just say, Jesus, I need you in my life.
Jesus, I need you in my life.
And I receive you right now.
And I receive you right now.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, I receive you right now.
Holy Spirit, I receive
in
you
Jesus
right now.
In Jesus' mighty name. And that's it. You just, it's right there. It's in you. Well, Pastor, We didn't have a feeling. Nobody shouted hallelujah. Nobody walked an aisle. See, none of that stuff's important. Those are all responses that happen when you receive Jesus or how you receive him. That's all there. But it does not have to be that, so you got it. If you prayed that prayer and meant it from the depths of your heart, you were born again, and you were just filled with the Holy Spirit. Just that simple. Listen, it's your first step. Now, stick around and listen to us, and let us teach you. I'm pitching. I just don't know if you're catching. We don't do this just to take up our time in the evening because we're bored and have nothing else to do. We do this because we're serious about changing your world by the word of God, and all of us changing our world everywhere around us with the word of God. And you'll be a light and a blessing. Brother Roger, welcome. Brother John there tonight. Brother John, we're missing you, Brother John, but hang in there. Welcome. All of you that are viewing or are watching the program with us right now, we welcome you. Welcome to sign in, make a comment. It'd be a blessing to you. I'm back in the story. I'm in John 8:12. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Well, I want you to think about it. Just say it to yourself. Just say it. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God.
I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God.
It just happened to you. You're full of the Spirit. Well, do I have to act like a Pentecostal? No, you don't have to act like a Christian. Let's read it again. John 8:12. Jesus spoke again to them saying, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not act like a weirded out Christian that nobody wants to be like. I know that's not what it says. What it says is he who follows me will not walk in darkness. Jesus, God don't make you weird. God might ask you to do some things that causes faith to happen and people stand around and go, whoa, I wouldn't have done that. And you just say, well, I know you wouldn't. You're not a believer. But I'm a believer, so I would do it. I'm preaching better than your stern, but it's all right. John 8:13. Now, here comes the pitching and catching side of this story. Jesus just said to the woman taken in adultery, I'm not going to condemn you, and sin no more. If Jesus said, go and sin no more, guess what that means? That means you can go and sin no more. Amen. There's no words in this book by our God, spoken by our Jesus, that he didn't mean. Now, Job's three friends. Anyways, whatever their names are, they got rebuked for what they said to Job. Never studied out why? I wouldn't say what they're saying, right? Solomon in the book of the Song of Solomon, not Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. Solomon's confused.
Oh, man.
But why? By the time he wrote Ecclesiastes, he had 300 wives, 700 combines. He was a mess. So Ecclesiastes has in it the story of Christ, but it also shows he was confused. Why? His religiosity, and worse than religiosity, sin changes everything about you. And if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you're not going to sin. Jesus looked at a woman who's probably laying there in front of him naked and says, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. How many times did he heal somebody and he say, go and sin no more? A worse thing comes upon you. So if you go and sin after you've been born again, guess what? A worse thing can come upon you. You know what's worse than being a sinner? Being a religious nut that doesn't know anything about Jesus. But you act religious, you sound religious, you look religious, you go sanctimoniously to church, but you don't have any fruit in your life of the righteousness of God. Oh, I could preach for like 5 hours today. But I'm just going to read the stories. Here we go. I got to get this read. How am I doing? I'm not doing very good. Well, I know I'm preaching good, but I'm not. We welcome all of you that are streaming with us tonight. It's good to have you. I see a couple more just signed in. Good to have you. If you want to tell us where you're streaming from, you follow me anywhere on YouTube. You'll notice anytime I sign into a place, anytime I'm watching a message, I'm like, that's a good message. I sign in loud and clear from North Dakota. That's what I say over and over. Why? I want them to know they got a listener in North Dakota. Why? It's a blessing to you. Here we go. John, here comes the meat of the word. I've been pitching. I just don't know if you're catching. Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself. Huh? John 8:13. Sorry. I'm not sorry. That had sorrow. I'll do better. Jesus answered and said to them, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I came from and where I'm going. Why? They're just a pack of religious nuts. 15. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. You see that path right there?
Yeah.
That was the Jesus, I judge no one path, but I'm not going down there. 16. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I'm not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. Now we've been studying this last month. Turn to Ephesians 2:6. Jesus just said, I am with the Father who sent me. Well, Pastor, he's not with the Father who sent him. He's standing right there with Jesus, with the scribes. I know, but look at this verse, Ephesians 2:6. And, well, it's probably 4-6, but anyway, 6 is the verse. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are seated together with him in heavenly places. There's Jesus saying the exact thing right there. I am with the Father who sent me. He's not in heaven, he's on earth. But see, when you look at our positional place in God, right now, we are seated together with him in heavenly places. Well, Pastor, you can't say that, all right? You're going to have that kind of tone of voice with me? I'll give you another verse. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. I don't mind a stubborn Missouri mule. It says, show me. Unless when I pitch the ball, they don't want to catch it. 1 John 4:17, love has been perfected among us. And this, what is it? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. What's going to give you boldness in the day of judgment? Because as he is, so are we. In this world, not in the next one, in this world. We're seated together with him in heavenly places in Christ. I know some of you are saying, Pastor, I don't even get what that means. Let me tell you something. I don't even get what it means. But I got a better understanding today than what I have had. And yet, you know what I know? I know looking at the great men of God that we've followed, men and women of God that we've followed, something about those people, they understood about seated together with him in heavenly places because they live and function and act and dwell and be as if they're already seated right there in heavenly places with Jesus, functioning as if they were in everything in God that is in God. So what do we have to say? Holy Spirit, help me see it. Don't throw it over there in that pile of verses that you say, well, someday I'll study it out and see what it means. No, this is one of the most foundation spiritual truths that you've got to get down inside of your life. What is it, Pastor? It is Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm seated together with him in heavenly places right here, right now, today. And he is, so am I in this world. John chapter 17. My goodness. John chapter 17.
Audrey says, happy to hear you.
Happy to see you, Audrey. John 17, 20 through 26. Look what Jesus said. That they, 21, that they all may be one, John 17, 21, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me and them. It's just really all through the whole New Testament. I have no idea how I'm going to make it all the way through verse number 47.
You may have to say something tomorrow.
Jesus said, I'm with the Father who sent me. I'm in John 8, 17. It's also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. All right? And we just read that. 19. Then they said to him, where is your Father? And Jesus answered them and said, make Sister Leanne the co-host. And Jesus answered them and said, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. 21, I'm in John 8, 21. Jesus said to them again, I'm going away and you'll seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. The Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. What did they think about taking your own life? I mean, I don't know. And he said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. Want to say it with me? I am not of this world.
I am not of this world.
I'm not of the other world. But I am an ambassador here in this world, representative of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I am going to make sure that Jesus is known and seen and heard in the things of God. Here we go. Therefore, I said to you, you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, capital he, die in your sins. Now, guys, some of you, I can tell tonight. I can tell, man. We got angelic presence here tonight. We got the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit here tonight. All you got to do is reach up into this presence and say, Spirit of God, manifest yourself to me. Help me see you. Because he's wanting to show you to him. He's wanting to show him to you big time. Now, think about this. Jesus is looking at these men saying, you don't even have any idea who I am. And yet, Jesus is the one that gave the law. See, there's so many people, there's so many of the scribes and Pharisees that they just wanted to obey all the law so everybody would look at him and say, wow, that guy can obey all the law. That's why they did it. And yet there was other scribes and Pharisees like Nicodemus that came to Jesus and said, all right, you're the Son of God. When Paul was on the road to Damascus and Jesus picked a fight with him. Well, Jesus just brought him into subjection. That's what he did. The anointing showed up to destroy that yoke. And at least he had enough sense to say, Lord, what are you doing? And Jesus said to him, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, that's the right word to say. You get to live. See, it doesn't matter how religious you are. I have some of us with this. It doesn't matter how religious anybody you've ever known in your life was. That doesn't matter. They may have been sanctimonious. They may have been harmonious. They can sing the best in the choir with the biggest smiling face. But you see, that big smiling face don't do you no good if down inside you don't have God Almighty on the inside. What did John Bevere say? I love it. They had their hair stacked up to the heavens and a seducing spirit up to their eyebrows. We've got to know God. I don't even know how to do it, Pastor. I don't. I know how to do it. And I'll show you. But here's the problem with what I show you. There's a whole lot of people that don't receive it. You know why? Because it's not very religious. When was the last time you saw me in a church building? I don't have anything against church building, but I like it. But this last season of my life, that's not been the case. I love it. We go to Living Word, and we get back to Michigan, if we can get there. We go on the way back and forth. If we can, we stop by and see Dr. Winston at his church, and we'll get out and be with the body. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus has left the building, and he's out in the street trying to get everybody born again. And it's not about what you do in a church building. It's about what you do right now at 8:15 Central Standard Time in your house every night. What are you doing there? That's what this is about. Well, I watch Wheel of Fortune and I watch Jeopardy and I catch a news program. And, well, you're not going to go to hell necessarily watching Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy unless they start talking about demonic stuff and you let that influence you. But what is the point of my saying? How much of this do you do every day? Which do you know more of? The Price is Right, Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, CNN, Fox, MSNBC? Or do you know more about your Bible? Do you know more about God? Just what Jesus is saying to the religious leaders of his day. You're very religious. Most of these guys could quote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, all five books of the Bible. They could quote it. Most of them. Let me just see what that is in my Bible. Hold on. Let me do this real quick. I've never done this before, so I don't have it. Genesis chapter 1, page 1. So in my Bible, which has zero study notes, that is 276 pages of verses they could quote from memory. But what is it? Jesus is the one that gave them that word. But see, Nicodemus wanted to know the truth. He was a scribe or Pharisee. Paul wanted to know the truth, and as soon as truth showed up, Paul's like, oh, I got it. And he switched immediately. The book of Acts says many priests were obedient to the faith when they gathered together in unity and taught the doctrines that Jesus taught them. Many people were obedient to the faith, and yet there was many that never did. And it's the day that we live in. Jesus is pitching. Are you catching? Are you creating a checklist every night? I watched Brother Copeland tonight. I watched Brother Hagin tonight. I watched Andrew Womack tonight. I went way out on the edge and watched a John Hagee or two. Well, all of that's good. Those are all good men. Until you do that and don't open up this for your own self, your own self. I've been working really hard, as you guys can tell, and this is one of our harvest seasons. When you believe for 30, 60, 100-fold return on your seed, that means there's coming a harvest season. In that season, you're going to have to reap. Somebody's got to go do the work of reaping the harvest, And that's what we're doing right now. And it's abundant harvest. It's amazing what's going on. So that's what we're doing. And so this morning when I woke up, I mean, I slept for like 10 hours. I woke up and I'm like, that's it. I'm getting my Bible and sitting on my couch with my Bible in my hands, in my lap, with my cup of coffee, and I'm reading the Bible today. Nothing is going to stop me. I got a TV sitting there on the stand that has access to YouTube, which is all I ever use it for. And it's got every one of the preachers I love to listen to and hear from. And it, no, none of that matters. Why? Because they teach everything they teach. I'm a YouTube preacher now. I got over 1,200 videos on YouTube. That makes me a YouTube preacher beyond a bunch of them. But who's counting? If all you do is listen to me and you don't ever figure out what this is, means for your own life, I got to be like the old gospel rock band. If I'm adding to the noise, turn the radio off. Why? Because you're going to stand in front of Jesus someday and give an account of what you did on this earth. Here's the glorious part. We're not standing in front of Jesus yet, so we can make a difference.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. You can change what's going on in your life. I have no idea how I'm going to get this done in the next 21 minutes. Ready? Watch me. I'm going to do it. Anybody know what verse I'm on? You will die in your sins. 25, they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say to you and the judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. Remember what Jesus said? I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. Verse 27. I'm in John 8, 27. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak those things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, and I always do those things that please him. Do you always do those things that please him? Well, yes, Pastor, I do. I pay my tithe every week. I go to church. I sing in the choir. I'm a Sunday school. But see, what you see where you start in the list? You start to list everything you do. All of those things are important, but what gives us access? That I have received the free gift of righteousness, the abundance of grace, and the free gift of salvation from Jesus. And now I'm spending every day in this book receiving the free training and understanding of the Holy Spirit of how to go live my life. Well, Pastor, you telling me I don't have to go to church and pay my tithes? No. I'm telling you, you're going to pay your church and go to church. You're going to go to your tithe and pay the church. No, but that's what this is we're doing here is church. But if all you do is just come and it doesn't change you, then that's just religious sanctimonious. Sanctimonialism. That's a good word. Sanctimonialism. That's a nice big long word. That's a $5 word right there. So Jesus is saying to him, you know the law, but you don't know me. What was the law doing? Pointing to Jesus in the future, saying the Messiah is coming. That's what the law was doing. It was to point us to the Messiah. He's standing right in front of him. He went and sat down in Matthias' chair. And they said, well, you ain't the Messiah. They were stuck in their religiosity rather than having their eyes of their understanding open so that they could see it. See, if you're chasing God, you'll see God in everything. And you won't be afraid to tell him. Speak to him. Speak to anybody about it. Somebody the other day was asking me a question. I said, man, I got to tell you an angel story. He just looked at me. I've known the guy for like 2 hours. Shook his hand, had about 3 conversations, about 20 words long. And then he got in the truck in front of me, and then I got in my truck. And when we got off, and we got to the final place, and I'm like, I got a flat tire, and I'm like, I got to tell you a story. I get done telling the story about the tire going back on the rim. He goes, that's amazing. He's like, that's God showed up. I'm like, yeah, it's God showed up. And what did I do? I gave witness of who God was right there. You see, if you're not doing this religiously, but so that you grow in your relationship with God and you can reach more people and you can find more ways to take this word and get it into people's lives, not beat them over the head with it, get the truth in their life so that it can set them free. And now, all of a sudden, we're impacting our world, and we're changing our world. Let's keep reading. I'm in 27. I'm actually going to make the verses, I can tell. I'm in 28, actually. John 8:28. Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak those things. He who sent me is with me. And the Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Father's not left you and me alone. He's right here with us, right in there. Said, I will be to them a God, and they will be to me children. Or I will be to them a Father, and they will be to me children. That's pretty cool. Verse 30, as he spoke these words, many believed in him, just not the scribes and Pharisees. Everybody stand around. 31, Jesus said to them, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what happens when you abide in the word. Now listen, I'm not telling you faith the verse that says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord isn't true. I'm not telling you not to ever listen to another preacher. I'm telling you it's important that you take what's there and get in this book, open it up yourself, and find out for yourself who God says you are on this earth. It don't matter if you're 220 or 80. It don't matter. It's the sooner you find out who you are, the more you get done last days on this earth. We studied a lot from Dr. Kevin Zadi last week. One of the most important things I heard him say last week, and he said a bunch as we studied all that. I mean, that was a bunch. Mm-hmm. Was I'm not an evangelist. I'm not here to evangelize the lost. If you're here, you can be saved, but I'm not here to do that. He said, I'm here to take people who truly want to make a difference in these final days of church history and help you go in and be weaponized how to win this world for Jesus and transform your community. If you're young, go reach the young. If you're old, go reach the old. Nothing stops you. Except your but if this, but if, and then you put something behind it. Don't do that. Say, here am I, Lord, send me. And then let him send you. I mean, for a long time we sang the song, take my hands, take my feet, take my lips, speak to me. You can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Well, yeah, but can he? Did you make that song and sing it? And you meant it, But then since then, he's been trying to get you to go do that over there, and you're like, no, go do that right there. No, I'm like, no, that's what I want you to go do. Wait, that's step number 736. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. It's a big chunk of granite that's laying there, and you got to step on it. And then, bam, that activates that whole step and everything that's supposed to happen in that point of your life. And if you're hesitating on taking that step, and it's been a year, it's been two, it's been 5 years since he told you to do it, you got so many things that are missing in your life that you're standing there going, what is going on? Well, you kept sidestepping that step he told you to take. Don't do it anymore. If you are his disciple, indeed, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you are not becoming freer and freer every day, then you're either not accepting the truth, or once you accept it, you're not making a determined point of making it come to pass in your life. How do I do that? Very simple. When you come here, get you a pen, get you a notebook, and take some notes. And then when we get done with the program, open up that notebook and study for yourself. And say that verse, and that verse. See, I put a little check and came alive while he was teaching tonight. I'm going to go get those verses out. I'm going to read everything around it. I'm going to say, Holy Spirit of God, you live in me. Father, you live in me. Jesus, you live in me. Bring this alive and show me how to take it to those that are around me so that their lives can be set free just like mine is being set free because this truth is transformed. Now, you've taken the word, and instead of being a fat pig sheep, you're actually a sheep bearing wool that is going to change someone's life. If the water flows into the pond and doesn't flow out, what happens to the water? It becomes stagnant. You ever been by a stagnant pond? The ducks don't even like to swim in it. Why? Because it's just stagnant. I remember growing up, there was a farmer had fields around our house. There was a couple low spots. And in the middle of summer, that'd get really stagnant. And I don't know why, because it had a spring in it. You could see the spring was bubbling up. But it's like the farther into the summer it got, the more that the mud or something went down inside that spring and plugged it. And the next thing you know, the water is just covered with green scum and algae. And the ducks wouldn't even land in it. You don't want to be that kind of a believer.
Amen.
If you're loud and you're noisy and you're obnoxious and nobody wants to be around you, don't look at them and say, what's wrong with them? Say, what's wrong with me? I'll get my own hanky and wave it. Wait, every one of us have had to say that. And if you've never said that about yourself, then it is time to say it about yourself. It's time to say it about yourself. What is going on? And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now watch what Jesus said. They answered him. I'm in verse 33. We're Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Well, they were in bondage to Rome right then. They weren't free. Jesus said, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Free from what? Sin. If you find yourself still sinning, get saved. I remember the first time I heard Jesse the Planet say that. I'm like, who do you think you are? Wait. He who sins is of his father, the devil. Jesus said to that lady, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin. He's talking to a lady probably laying there naked, taking in adultery. Not too far long ago, she's in the bed with a man. in a matter of what, 20 minutes, half an hour, however long it took to drag him, that dragger there. And Jesus looks at her and said, well, go and sin no more. Man, Pastor, I don't know how to do it. You can't in your own power do it. You just caused me to just say, what is the use? No. Why would Jesus give his blood and there would be no use of you coming to him? All you got to do is become a disciple, a disciplined one in the word of God and his ways. That's what every great teacher you've ever listened to was trying to do with you, is make a disciple out of who you are. I know we want to go, no, I can't hear you, God, I can't hear you. I know you're talking, but I'm not listening. Did you ever do that as a kid? What kind of response did you get from your mom when you did that? But why would we do that to God? Pastor, do you know what he's telling me to do? Yeah, I don't know what he's telling you to do. I know what he's telling me to do. I love Dr. Barclay's story. It's one of them classic examples of what to do when God tells you to do something you don't want to do. I don't remember what year it was, but let's go like 91, 92, somewhere back there. God said, I want you to go on TV. He goes, I don't want to go on TV. And God said, I want you to go on TV. He's like, I don't want to go on TV. But he said, now that I've said that, what's my first step? Well, why would he say that, Pastor? Because he's not going to be disobedient. There ain't nothing wrong with saying to God, I don't want to do that. But now you have to say, what's my first step? Why? Because you better get busy doing what he told you to do, because it's written in your book in heaven. And when you get to heaven, they're going to pull that book up and say, did you know? Did you feel I told you this? Yeah. Why didn't you do it? And then then it won't matter. No excuse will matter, because you'll be standing in the presence of truth. Remember what we just read? You will know the truth and the truth will make you free. Well, the truth lives inside of here and is written in one of these books that we tell you to buy every time we come here. And it's not masked. It's not hidden from you. It's hidden for you. But it's only given to those who have the desire to go seek it out and actually come to a line upon line, precept upon precept understanding of it. Pastor, you just give way too many verses. I don't know how to keep track of all of them. Well, keep track of the ones that come alive when I'm speaking them to you. Write them in your notebook. Why? Because those are the verses that will transform your life. What? They're standing out to you. It's amazing to me. Every time I meet a new preacher, I have to be famous, but and God brings somebody across my path, and it's like, he's got the same chase for God I do, but he's using these verses. I've never heard these verses before. But I hear them now. And so what am I going to do? I'm gonna find a way to add those verses to what I already know. Why? Because that makes your understanding of God that much broader, that much greater, that much more effective. It just makes it that much greater. And so you just learn. You don't have to capture everything I say in one night, put it into effect. You come here, and from your daily life that you're living and you're reading and you're studying, I'm going to say something, and it's going to take that you already got written down, going to take it to another level. What are you going to do? Add another verse. Or maybe it's the same verse. Say, yep, there you are, Holy Spirit. You're saying again. And you underline it, or you do something. And then you write down the verses. Why do you think we give you the verse list? Because if you miss it during the message, at the end, the verse list will be in there. And you'll be able to go back and say, what were those verses? It's not necessarily what was exactly the words are saying, although you can go back and get that. But if you can get that reference, the same Holy Spirit of God that's inside of me is inside of you. You think I can get this done? Oh, my goodness, I can go for a couple hours. I mean, I think about it. What are we talking about? Jesus is continually pitching. Are you catching? Every time I come here, I like that thought. How many people are you pitching to? They don't even have a catcher mitt on. And here comes the ball in, and they're like, that's going to hurt. I ain't going to touch that at all. They're not catching. Don't worry about everybody else. How about you? I encourage you that continually come here. I'm pitching, and you're doing everything to catch. But to several of you, quite a few of you, you're going to have to get a notebook finally. What I'm telling you to do is going to cost you a lot of money. I mean, it's going to be serious. It might break you. But it's worth going broke for Jesus. Drive all the way to Walmart and buy a spiral notebook, probably $3, and buy a pen. You don't even have to buy one like me. Buy one that you like. That might be $4. And then drive home and turn this video back on and then start organizing something inside that book in your mind so that you can begin to get this truth inside of you so the next time you're sharing it with somebody, you don't have to say, well, I don't know where it is in the Bible, but, you know, it's in there somewhere, but don't worry about it. I just not real smart. That is not what any of us are supposed to say. If you find one of them situations where you're talking to somebody and you're trying to bring that verse out, just tell them, hold on just a second. Either make you a note to find that verse or go find it right then. Go to your e-sword or go to Bible Hub and just search it up. Let's say you don't know John 8:32 and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Let's say you don't know where that is. Well, just open up your phone, open up your browser, and just start your new browser and just type it in there. I don't like typing, so I use the talk to text. Let's try that again. I don't like typing, so I use talk to text. Pause, click the button. Know the truth. Know the truth, Bible Hub. And then you click it, and it just pops right up, John 8:32. Now, don't ever let that verse evade you another day. Make a point. Make a point. Watch. Let me see if I can do this. I don't think I can do this. I don't think this is going to turn out right. But I'm going to try just because I'm really bold. That's me.
Oh.
What I want to do here real quick is on my Zoom. Thought I could turn the camera on. Can't turn the camera on? Well, over there on the wall, there's 3, 6, 9 verses that we put up on the wall. I know we went through this before. Isn't that something? Anyways, doesn't matter. Didn't work. So I'm not worried about it. What's the point? I put the verses up on the wall that I wanted to learn. How many times have you heard me preach the verse, Isaiah 60, verse 1, where eyes shine for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Romans 8, 11, same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside our mortal body. That same spirit will also give life to you. Philippians 4, 19, my God shall supply all my needs according to riches and glory. 1 John 4, 17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. What's that one? Exodus 14, 14. You shall not need to fight, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Matthew 5, 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 11, 50. My yoke is easy. 30. And my burden is light. What do? We put them right up on the wall so that we would have to come in here and look at them, see them on the wall, and then we taught ourselves to speak them. If you go to our microwave, right on the microwave, is the verse right out of Matthew 12, 11, 11, 12, one of those two. I always get the reference right. What does it say? Kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. What? As a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. See, Pastor, you can say those verses and speak them, and you can just quote them. And I'm just not that smart. I'm just not like you. There was a day I couldn't do it. And then I decided that Jesus lives in me. Holy Spirit lives in me. Father lives in me. And they are the truth. And the truth lives in me. So if I'll fix my mouth and say I'm too stupid to memorize, and I'll begin to say the truth lives in me, therefore, if I just let my mind open up and renew my mind because the Holy Spirit is in my mind, transforming my mind, all of a sudden I'll be able to remember the verses. Brother Dan and I watched a man on our Bible college campus. His name is Keith. He was total burnout, total drug addict burnout. Burnt his brain out. He loved Jesus. He loved God. Of course, that would have been in 1981, so that's just right at the end of the hippie movement. He was a hippie on the beach, and he had literally burned his brain right out with drugs. In his first semester, he was in like 10 and 12% right on a test. Mm-hmm. They came to him and said, you're just not doing good, Keith. You know, probably just need to go and not come back. He's like, well, why? If I'm paying my bills, does it bother you that I don't make good grades if I want to know the truth and the Bible's helping me? And they're like, well, if you want to stay here. And he's like, am I a bad person? Do you not want me here? Like, no, we like you. We're glad to have you. And he's like, well, I'll stay here. They're like, well, then stay. And by the end of his first year, he was actually getting up into the 20s and 30s. And he was so proud of himself. I remember it. He started his third semester out, and he was up to getting 50s and 60s. He was so excited. Why? Because the Word of God was transforming his brain and bringing it back to life. Why? Because he didn't put any limits on it. He just said, God's showing me. And back to where he was making bees. He was one of the happiest bee makers you'll ever see in your whole life.
Yeah.
But see, what do? We say, in a pastoring, when I was in third grade, my teacher told me I was just too dumb to learn, and I've just never learned anything in my whole life. I'm just too dumb to learn. What have you done? You have spoken the words coming out of a demonized person's life telling you that you were stupid. I know I've had those voices in my life, and I've had teachers that treated me that way. I had a teacher in junior high that was just mean, nasty, snake, vile. Humiliated me right in class. I didn't want to pay attention in his class. I never did. He passed me. You know why? He didn't want to see me again the next year. But you have to get over it. You have the Holy Spirit of God on the inside. Let him be in you as powerful as he wants you to be. That's not a maniac running around speaking in tongues in everybody's face. That's a religious nut. Let the Holy Spirit of God use your heavenly prayer language when you're alone with him, build and grow and develop you. And then get these verses as I'm teaching them. Get them out and write down the verse that means something to you. And you'll watch. You'll end up with about 10 of them. And then I'll keep saying them. And you'll be like, man, he's on my verses. And then all of a sudden one day I'll say another one. You'll be like, wow. And you'll open up that one. And what is it? Every time you open up, you open up. Every time you accept and bring in, you accept and bring in. Every single time. When you know the truth will set you free. Now, let me get these last verses in. Because I really have to be done by 9. I didn't do good about it, but I really do have to be done. Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is the slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Now let's read these next verses. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Jesus, the living word, is standing in front of them saying, my word has no place in you. I speak what I've seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do that. You do the deeds of your father. They said to him, We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus is standing right there looking at him saying, well, then if you are like Abraham, you are not going to try to kill me. I'm the Messiah. What are you going to kill me for? Because I healed somebody? What are you going to kill me for? Because I feed the poor? What are you going to kill me for? Because I just said to the lady taken in adultery, go and sin no more? This is what Jesus said. If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and come from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desire of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. He is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you're not of God. What was Jesus saying to them? If you were truly of your father Abraham, you would love me because I am proving the works of my father. I heal the sick. I raise the dead. I cast out demons. I bring the gospel of the kingdom to you and to your community. You don't. You can't get them set free. They're bound. I am getting them set free. That's what Jesus was saying. because the title of the message was so appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, I've been pitching. I just don't know if you're doing the catching. And you might say, well, Pastor, I love to hear you preach. I come to hear you preach every night. I think it's just wonderful. Yeah, but you can't stand before Jesus and say, well, I heard Pastor Sam preach every night for 3 years. You're going to say, then what did you do with what he preached to you for 3 years? Well, I just went and listened. No, there's going to be a greater requirement of your stewardship than just listening. It's got to transform you to send you out of this world and change somebody's life. Starting at home with your mate and your children and your grandchildren and then your sphere of influence and then your whole community. Why? Because God wants to use you and your voice to transform many people's lives. Jesus didn't have a problem with them guys knowing the whole law. He gave it to them to know and told them to memorize it. He had a problem when having memorized the whole Pentateuch, the reality of what it was saying didn't reach him because there he was standing in front of them and they couldn't perceive. Somebody said to me a while back, Pastor, how many verses do you have memorized? I'm like, I don't know. Why are we worried about how many verses we've memorized? How many doesn't have any effect on whether or not I live my Christian life? There's a few verses in the Bible that if you just knew those verses and lived those specific verses, you would not only get you saved, you'd go get the whole world saved. You see what we've done? We create this religious sanctimonialism and say, see what I've done? And see what I've done has got to reach somebody. And if it's not reaching somebody, see what I've done is not doing anything for you. Except giving you another, like Mike Warnke said, it's like except poking a hole in your nice suit when you put your perfect attendance pin on. Should you have perfect attendance? Yes, because you're an excellent warrior of the cross. Can you turn that badge in for anything in heaven? Not if it doesn't match works of helping someone know our God. Now, if you've got the perfect attendance and you're out transforming your world and that perfect attendance pin comes to you because you get inside that building, Jesus, I got to know you more. I want to know your ways. I want to know how you work. I want to take what I learned here and go reach the world. Now your perfect attendance pin is going to actually bring many people to the kingdom, not the pin, but because you're bringing them into the kingdom, your perfect attendance is going to actually have an effect. Otherwise, it's like Andrew Womack says, there was a church once that said, Let's give a pin to the person who's the most humble person in our church. And so what did they do? They picked a guy that they said was the most humble person in the church. Guess what happened? When he accepted the pin from him, they said, nope, you're not humble because you wouldn't have accepted this pin. Really? How ignorant is that? No. What we learn here is supposed to cause us to go out there and make a difference in our world. Don't go preach in people's face. Don't condemn people. They want to know the loving Father that you know. If you don't know your loving Father, then begin to study the verses in the New Testament that have the word Father in it. I don't know how to find them, Pastor. I do. Open up your e-sort. Open up your browser and search with your new browser page. You just turn that on there and you say, hold on, watch this. I'm going to do it real quick. My Father, Bible Hub. When you click on that, it's going to show you a whole bunch of verses that say, My Father from Jesus. That's why I tell you to buy this Bible. Why? Because you can go back here to the page that is your alphabetical index, and you can go back here to the word Father. Let me see how many have been here. I've never done it this way before. Wow, Father. 1246, 1247, 1248, 1625, 1669, 1629 to 31. Wow. There's going to be a whole bunch of verses in it. I know it should inspire you to get one of these Bibles. That's why I've been saying to do it. Oh, there's a whole bunch of stuff in here about fathers. Fatherhood of God. Anyways, what's the point of tonight? Jesus is, are you catching? Pastor, I'm trying. I know you are. Listen, to every one of you that are here and you're coming every time you come here, and you're like determined, I'm going to be there. Pastor's preaching, I'm going to be there. That's good. Tonight's message is encouraging you to not just be here to hear, but get serious with your notebook. And then get serious with what you're writing in the notebook. And then get serious with God. Psalm 139, verses 14 through 18, says that your name is written in a book. And it's what you should be doing with your life while you're on this earth. So I encourage you, please, begin to ask him. Write this down. Ask the Father, what is written in my book in heaven? And then be extremely diligent of just seeking until you actually come to the understanding of what your purpose is and what he wrote in that book. When I heard Dr. Kevin Zadai saying that about Psalm 139, I'm like, wow. Wow. Cut from the same cloth. Then I find out he listens to Lester Summerall and Kenneth Hagin messages. Yup, we're cut from the same cloth. Why? Because they gave us life. They gave us life. Whether or not you understand the Nephilim or the Nephilites or any of the rest of that stuff, that don't matter. It don't change your salvation. Don't let it confuse you. Amen? Know the truth. Just say to the Father, Father, give me 10 verses to live by that I can go into my community and change this world. You know how many verses I've heard Dr. Barclay give? My goodness. Every SMTI class I was in, he gave you 75 verses. Every one of them. But see, it wasn't important how many he gave. What's important is how many that the Holy Spirit brought to you to cause you to grow and develop in him. I know I've said that a bunch of times tonight, but I know this. I encourage every one of you who are here, come back and be with us again. Come back and be with us again. And then be a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I have endeavored to speak your word to these, your children. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare, no matter what's happening in their life, they will know the truth and the truth will set them free. If they have questions about how to make this work, Lord, help them get in touch with us. And no matter how many times you've heard it, we don't have no condemnation for nobody. Help us, Jesus, to transform our world every day, everywhere we go. May we be that smile that handshake, that hug, that word. May you get us to the place, Lord, where we're reaching into our community and transforming it by your love and your mercy and your grace. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. The mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. And amen. Communion elements, we call it the New Covenant worship. I like it because it's the New Covenant worship. The Old Covenant, they had the Passover. The New Covenant, we got communion. Jesus took all of the Passover celebration and put it into the communion element and then said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. So get you some bread and grape juice, bread and water. If you don't have grape juice, I encourage you to get grape juice. Why? It's what Jesus said, the fruit of the vine. Because it reminds us, he's the vine, we're the branches. We cannot bear fruit unless we're connected to him. I'm going to read these verses. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation. And then we're going to give you some instructions. And then we'll receive the elements together. I'd be a little different than what you're used to. That's okay. It'll be all right. Just what he showed us to do. So we do it. Isn't it something what happens when you just obey the voice of Almighty God? There we go. Ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Listen to what Paul's instructions by the Holy Spirit. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance. In the same manner after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself. So let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. There's forever in the church, people have said, don't take of that. Don't come here and drink communion juice. You'll drink damnation to yourself. Well, you're just eating crackers and drinking juice. That's not what this is about. This is about, have you received what it was that Jesus did for you? And then verse 31, why? We would judge ourselves. We would not judge. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. We already spoke it once tonight. Love, God's perfect love, is perfected amongst us in this. What? That we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is right here, right now, so are we in this world. Perfect love. Cast out fear. Because fear has torment. He who fears is not made perfect in love. See, perfect love casts out the fear. And your life is transformed. Now, you might say that doesn't even make sense, Pastor. Well, send me an email. Ask me a question because I want it to make sense. I actually do it. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, now's the time to do it. If you've never prayed the prayer of salvation, now's the time to do it. You might say, Pastor, I'm not even sure I understand all this. I understand that, but this is what I say to you. I want you to just notice I have just spoken the word of God to you. And you can see it right there on the page. If you didn't see it on the page, then I encourage you to go back when we're finished and find these verses and begin to look them up and study them. Oh, my goodness sake, God. All right, well, can you see the screen? Seems like that's all the larger that it will let me get it. So there. This is the prayer of salvation. Pray it with me. Everybody just, we're going to all pray at the same time. Why? Because that way your mouth is speaking these words. If you mean this from the depths of your heart, there'll be a transformation to your life right now, whether you understand any of it. Pray it with me. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Man, that's a powerful statement. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with good people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. And then it says pause and shout. Now, let's give you some instruction. Any of you who meant that from the depths of your heart, you're probably experiencing something on the inside and be like, wow, I don't necessarily know what this is, but wow. Well, what's happened is you just invited Jesus in. Now, let's just look at it. It says it right there. I receive all of our grace and your mercy, all of your love and your righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Now that's what just happened to you. If you meant that, that's what just happened. Yeah, but Pastor, you didn't get me to focus on my sin and how bad I was and how much I need God. Well, that's never been my assignment. Why? Because your sin don't matter. Your sin don't matter. Jesus' righteousness matters. Jesus' grace, mercy, and love is what matters. Did you receive that? Yeah. Then he got rid of the rest of it for you. People are like, why, you didn't even say I'm a wicked sinner. I've done so bad. I feel so horrible about it. Well, okay. But how bad did Jesus make that lady feel who was taken in adultery and dropped at his feet? He didn't. He just said, Is anybody here accusing you? No. Well, then I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's a pretty simple salvation message right there. And we'll teach you now how to walk with Almighty God, because that's what the answer is every day. Wake up in the morning, lay there in your bed, say, Father, thank you. You live in me. Thank you, Jesus. You live in me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You live in me. Help me today to walk in the paths of righteousness and walk with you. Anyway, all right. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell, and get connected with us. We are that group of people that will help you walk with God. But we've got to get connected. I can't go chase everybody down that ever says they want to serve God. You've got to come and plug in, and then we'll help you because you're plugged in. How do I know who plugs in and who doesn't? Except by the ones I see. You might be the greatest person in the world, saying, I want everything of God. Hey, Tracy Grant, good to have you, man. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You make us smile every time we see you.
You do.
You know what it is? It's like that cup of cold water on a hot day from a friend from a long ways away. Bless you too, Dave. We love you, man. Thank you for every bit of strength you ever gave me, brother. These are good folk right here. Good folk. And man, did they live way out in the woods. I mean, like way out in the woods. You had to have a team of mules just to get back into where they live. Anyways, let's pray today. We're going to bless our elements and receive them together. I might not be your pastor, but that doesn't matter. That you don't receive communion from your pastor. You commune with the Father. And anytime the blood of Jesus and the body of Christ is broken and shared, you're welcome because you're a part of the body of Christ to be a part of it. Whether they're Lutheran or Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostals, or there ain't no costals at all. If they're doing communion, then you and I have the right to be a part of it because we're a part of the body of Christ. Ready? I got the words on the screen. You can see them. Hold your elements up. Here we go. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Whoops. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. In my mind, in my will, and in my emotion. There is nothing missing. Nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ in my community and around the world, wherever you send me
or this prayer.
I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Jesus, for your body that was broken. We receive it now. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name. And now I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed
to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me.
By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged, my robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, I receive the fruit of the vine now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Here we go. Let's sing my dad's favorite song tonight. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood. Now, as you can see, I'm 24 minutes past my curfew, but it's all right. We've done the work of God tonight, and I pray this message has been a blessing to you. And, you know, if it has, now listen, this is just good training. Mark it on a calendar. Go get your calendar right off the wall. Mine has tulips on it. Where did we get that one? Brother Copeland? No, somebody else. Anyway, it's got tulips on it. May the 1st. And just write right on there. Powerful message from the community of faith. Why? It was the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And then come back here. Go real quick to YouTube and search it up. And find this link and then save it in your notepad. I have a Dr. Barkley note. I have a Jesse DePlantis note. I have a Jerry Savelle note. I have a Kenneth Hagin note. I have a Bill Johnson note. I have an Andrew Womack note. I have, and the list goes on. Well, these are the great preachers. And when I get a message from one of them that really has an impact on me, I grab that YouTube link and put it right in my note so that anytime I want to go back and I don't have to go looking for it. It's right in my notes. Now, I know, I can tell. Somebody said, well, Pastor, is all that really important? No, you don't have to do nothing. You don't have to go to heaven either. When the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you, it's not his responsibility that the next time you want to know what he said, that he'll bring it back to you, although that is his place. It's your responsibility as a good steward to say, oh yeah, what did the Holy Spirit say? And you can go right to that note and you can pull it up. The other day, I was trying to get somewhere on YouTube. Oh, I was trying to find my own Read the Word. Now listen, some of you like to listen to my Read the Words and you've been following me on my Facebook page. And I was several days in there. There's probably 2 weeks I didn't even get them up there. And then I started putting them up. Was able to get it all working so I could get it up there again. And I went back and looked the other day. They're not even there. I have no idea. I have no idea. I'll get them all back up there. And realize in this day that we live, you and I are going to, we've got everything at our fingertips. Find a way to use this powerful computer and get your life in tune with God. Oh, I started to tell you. I got 2 minutes left. I mean, I'm 27 over, but I'll be done. I was on YouTube trying to get to my Read the Words, and these shorts kept popping up. I'm like, why am I on shorts? I don't love shorts. I want my homepage. And, man, there was five preachers right in a row with a short. And I'm like, okay. And I'd reach over there, and I'd click it again. I'm like, why am I getting these things? But every one of them was so powerful, I captured every one of them and stuck them in my notepad. Why? Because I want to be able to go back now and listen to that again. And I like these shorts. Why? You can turn them on. You can get a shower. If you take a 10-minute shower, it'll play that thing 8 times. What if you just got that one thought just right in your mind over and over and over and over again? I've been listening to one this last week. How much time I got? 1 minute. This is what it says. Every spoken word of God has within it self, its own ability to bring itself to pass. What was that? Mary. The angel said, you're going to give birth. Mary said, how can this be? I don't know a man. And the angel said, nothing is impossible with God. Mary said, be it done unto me unto your word. That rhema word from God through the angel had inside itself the ability to bring itself to pass. If tonight John 8:32 spoke to you, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. That word spoken out of your mouth in faith has within it its own ability to bring that word to pass in your life. In Jesus' name. Yes. Got to run till we see you again. This is what we say. Remember this. Pastor tried really hard to get this done in 2 hours. We love you.
We love you.
And yes. God loves you. And Jesus.
Is Lord.
And Jesus is Lord. And here we go. Now, don't worry, I'll be all right.